What's up, SaltCo? Like you said, my name is Justin. I serve as a pastor up at City Light Bennington, one of the church plants we've been going, heading into our third year now. It's kind of crazy how time works. Like you said, I was actually part of the SALT team here, so I love this ministry. I love these people. I see some familiar faces in the room, so it's awesome to be back. A little bit about myself. I serve as the pastor of care up at City Light Bennington, so kind of running after the care and counseling ministry up there. I also get the privilege and the joy of preaching and teaching God's word on Sunday mornings. A little bit about me. I just got married to my lovely bride in March this last year. So big change there. Yeah, you can clap for that. Give God glory. It's been amazing. Marriage is just getting to do life with your best friend. It's been awesome being married to Jayla. The transition has been really smooth and sweet. One thing that I wasn't prepared for maybe transitioning into marriage, take note of this if you plan on getting married, like sleep patterns and rhythms. Like, this is something that I did not really realize, that as you head into marriage, like, your partner actually has different sleep rhythms. And like, so I figured out very quickly that I'm a person who really enjoys sleeping in like silence. Like, I'm the guy who like silence where you can like hear a pin drop. I like a little bit of light, like not like pitch black. My bride Jayla is like the absolute opposite. And I got permission to share this, but like, she is the type of person, she wants like 15 fans going because like white noise, if that's a thing, you know what I'm talking about? Like, I remember going to sleep and like, looking at how many fans she was like plugging in and turning on, like I didn't realize we had that many fans. But like it kind of like feels and sounds like I'm like on an airplane when I sleep, but like not in the cabin, like out on the wing. And like it's just like, like the whole night, I'm like, why is there like wind in our bedroom? But like that's how it feels. And like, so I get used to that. I can deal with that now. But like the biggest thing, we just talked about this the other day, like she loves blackout curtains. Like, any of you like the black, like I'm talking like 100% blackout, like not the 90 or whatever percent. Like, okay, so we have a prayer team in the back after this, would love to pray for you. But in all seriousness, no, like this, the blackout curtains, like for me, like I can't tell like if it's day or night. Like, it doesn't matter the time of day. Like, I cannot tell. It's just dark in there. And I like to wake up a little bit naturally to like daylight. She does not. She likes it to feel like it's just winter all year long in Nebraska, and I just don't. But the thing is about that, like, with the blackout curtains, like, it's interesting because for me, like, I'm like an old soul at heart, but I'm also like realizing like I'm aging like an old soul in even my body right now. Like, especially like I'm the guy who has to wake up like consistently in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. And so, like, blackout curtains, if, like, you can't see during the day, like, imagine, like, 2 in the morning. Like, you can't see, like, your hand, like, 5 inches in front of your face. So, like, in my just laziness, like, this is my problem, not yours, but, like, I'm literally, like, going in the middle of the night, like, just blindly half awake, like, feeling my way around for the bathroom, like, in pitch darkness. And, like, it's quite the scene, like, and it, if you, like, go, and then I finally, like, stumble, like, across all of our furniture. And like, again, I'm doing this like repeatedly every night. So again, my problem, not yours. But I use this illustration for you tonight because there's this, it seems like a silly picture. Like, you would look at this and you're like, okay, just pull out your flashlight and stop being lazy, right? Like, that would be the simple answer and the simple solution. But like, it's funny because I think this picture shows us how honestly, and if we would just be honest and humble ourselves, like many of us can go through life like this. Like, kind of just like stumbling around in the dark, like feeling our way around in life until we find what we're looking for. And even then, we don't quite know if we're on the right track, if we're moving towards it or away from it. Like, imagine with me, like, all the things, if you were to list out in life that you have to like navigate through, and like just in a day sometimes. Like, the things like, okay, I got to go to class. I got this test. I got this other class I need to study for. I have all these things. What should I actually like confirm my major in? What should I study? What kind of career should I look into? Like, who should I date? Who should I marry? Like, what do people actually think of me? Like, and what does maybe that specific person think of me? Like, those kind of questions that you're wrestling with all in like a moment. And on top of it, then you kind of get into like the deeper life questions. Like, okay, like, I'm maybe new to Omaha, or maybe this is like a new experience. You're a freshman going into college, and this is all new to you. Maybe you're like, you're a senior, and you're actually moving into maybe a different season, and you're just balancing, okay, I don't want to go through life lonely. Like, I actually want to know, how do I find friends, and how do I find, like, good friends? like lifelong friends, like true, genuine friends. And then maybe you're also like, as you try to make friends and as you try to maybe pursue a dating relationship, you're also thinking these things like, I got a lot of shadows from my past. Like, I got a lot of baggage that I'm like trying to deal with, and it's actually affecting me every day of my life. Like you actually would look back and you're like, there are some past memories and past pain in my life that every time I think of it, it like makes me like carry a chipper on my shoulder. Like, I always just kind of feel anxious. I always feel like slightly ashamed every room I step into. Maybe a little embarrassed about every person I interact with. And like, maybe you even find yourself like hardened by these things in life that you're like, man, I don't feel the way I once felt. Like, I don't actually even feel like I'm me anymore. Like, maybe that's you tonight and you feel like, man, I'm just like stumbling through life in the dark, not exactly sure how to be healthy, not exactly sure what I should pursue. What is my purpose in life? Who should I be with? How can I find good friends? All those questions. And again, that's just in one day. And now, like, imagine living the rest of your life like that every single day of your life. Like, that's crazy. And like, I want tonight, as we look at our topic, like, my aim tonight is to show us that we can be free from this type of living. Like, we don't have to stumble through life in the dark, having all of our questions unanswered. Like, we can actually look to the Word of God. We can actually go to the one who created us, who knows us, and has designed life in such a way that it can actually be so clear. And He can shine light in your darkness, that He can actually give you clarity where there might be confusion tonight. And my aim is to show that through the I am statements of Jesus, because He's going to contrast this idea of stumbling through the dark by saying what the Bible says is walking in the light. And the I am statements that we're going to be looking at through this series, you've already looked at I am the bread of life. And tonight's passage, if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn there. It will be in John 8:12. And this is the second I am statement we're going to be looking throughout the series, and it's Jesus. And John 8:12, and He's going to say that I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And a little context of this passage, Jesus is teaching at this festival, this feast. And these Pharisees are around. These are the religious leaders, the really morally upright guys who kind of beat you over the head with God's law, always want to make you feel shame and a little bit inferior to them so that they look superior. Like, this is the crowd that Jesus is working with. And there's more people coming alongside Him, but He's going to continue teaching and continue just pick up right where He left off, saying, after I am the bread of life, and now He's saying, I am the light of the world. And what this means to us here, if we would look at the verse, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Simple verse. Want to unpack it just kind of word by word, explain and unpack what each thing means. Start with the word light. Like, we all know what light is. Like, Jesus saying, I am the light. Meaning that, like, we know what it'd be like to not have light, right? Like, imagine if the sun wasn't a thing. Like, life would be impossible. Like, none of us would succeed in life. None of us would have a life worth living. Like, it wouldn't matter. Like, there's nothing without light. So Jesus saying that He is the light is very simple and yet very profound. He's showing us, and that the opposite of light is obviously darkness. So He's comparing and contrasting the two, saying, like, listen, I am the light. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So it's, again, so simple. He's saying that you'll either follow me and live in light, or you won't follow me and you'll live in darkness. Like, those are the only two ways that a human being can live their life. Can I tell you that? Like, there's only two ways to live your life, in the light or in the dark. Most people choose the dark. We'll explain what that looks like and why that doesn't work out so well. And we'll show what it means to actually live in the light and following Jesus, what that actually looks like as He compares and contrasts these two. And again, the Bible uses other verses elsewhere to explain that the difference between these two is like living in the light is likened to like actually being able to see. And living in the dark is compared to like blindness, like you're just blind. So again, light, seeing, dark, blindness. Like, that's the only ways you can live your life. One of two ways, and we're going to see which way will you choose as we look at both of those ways. Like, imagine like with me as just a way of illustration. Like, if I were to say, like, hey, after this, we're all going to go to Coneflower. And, like, I'm going to go there, right? Like, go to Coneflower if you haven't, right? Like, best ice cream in Omaha. But, like, if I were to say, like, hey, I'm going to go to Coneflower after this, and anyone who meets me there, I will pay for as much ice cream as you can possibly eat. Like, sounds like a great deal. And we're going on, and you, some of you are already, like, reaching for your keys and, like, all right, let's get out of here. But, like, I said, oh, by the way, I totally forgot. The catch is you have to get there blindfolded. Like, so here are these blindfolds. Put those on right now and see you guys there. Probably won't, actually. So, like, that's what this is, like, saying. It's like living your life, stumbling through the darkness is like trying to get somewhere blindfolded. Like, we all want contentment. And so many of us, if I were to say, hey, you want contentment? Great. We all do. Go and get it. And like, none of us actually know how to do that. We kind of just feel our way around in life blindly. And like, what happens is just like driving blindfolded. A lot of us pursue contentment. And what happens is driving blindfolded where you just end up trying to find it, but you just get a bunch of people hurt. You get hurt and you realize, man, I didn't even find it in the end. Like, that's what it's like to live in the dark. That's what it's like to just stumble around in a spiritual blindness, Jesus is saying. It's like we want this contentment, but we have no idea how to get it, just hoping that some way, somehow, it will come crashing into us. And, like, attest it here, but, like, if we were to look at our lives, like, do we not do this? Do we not just, again, try to feel our way through life until we think that contentment, we're getting closer and closer? Like, do you not have the thoughts that, like, I feel like if I could just get this certain GPA, then I'd be content? Like, I feel like if I just had this number of followers and this many likes on my posts, maybe I'd be content. Or I feel like if I had this amount in my bank account or this Enneagram number personality, which that's a whole nother talk. I won't get on that. That's something else. But or maybe you're looking and you're saying, you know what? I feel like if I could just be unique enough and stand a cut above the rest, like the type of clothes I wear, the type of music I listen to, like I can create this own brand for myself that people like envy and like want to have. Or like, if I feel like I can just be like this certain person or even be liked by this certain person, I feel like if I could just get friends like this or if I could just get married, I feel like if I could just have all the things I want and I feel like if I could just get it in this time frame. Like, do we not just go by feel? Like, we're all led by our feelings and we're just feeling around like blind people hoping that somehow we will find our way to contentment. And in all of that, Jesus is saying there is a better way, but like we need to first understand, like, why do we live like this? Like, I had a great mentor, just gray-haired dude, like 70 years old, has seen a lot of life. And he said, Justin, one thing in life, make sure as you grow older, ask the question why. Like, my goodness, he said, if I could go back in time, I would ask why way more often. Like, I wouldn't just take something as like the word and just say like, okay, I'm just gonna believe it because it must be true because I heard it somewhere, I read it somewhere. Like, actually ask the question why. And that's what I'm inviting everyone in this room. Like, why do we live this way? Like, why do you live stumbling around, feeling your way around life in the dark, hoping that somehow you'll bump into contentment? When like God's word is actually enough. Like he says in Hebrews, like, this word and the revelation that we see in the person and finished work of Jesus is everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. It means that everything you need to know about life can be found here. And we keep feeling our way around blindfolded to these things. Like, have you ever stopped to think, like, the reason that a lot of us do the things we do is as silly as, like, some teenager that we don't even know, like, created a TikTok video with some good tips and some hacks about life. And we just take that and say, yeah, I'll live my life and I'll just continue to subscribe to more and more people like this. I don't know them. They're, like, probably 16 years old. And you know what? It's as good as God's word to me. Or, like, someone created, like, a YouTube vlog or a Spotify, like, what are they called? The podcast. Like, you just literally like just digest all of this and think, yeah, someone with a degree, someone with a big name behind, you know, has a big title. So yeah, might as well just follow them. Even though I don't know them, they don't know me, and I have no idea their credibility. Or like, do you realize that so much of our influence in life is because of culture that we see in like Hollywood celebrities? We see in actors, we see in athletes, we see in musicians, and we just say, man, well, they made a movie, and they made a TV show, and they made a music video, and wrote a song that I could really relate to, so I think I'll just completely reorient my life around that, and I'll just kind of like live in the movie like they do. I'll kind of just live in this song like they wrote, and like I just completely uproot my life, and whatever new trend comes along, I'll just continue to stumble along in the dark, hoping that that might lead me to contentment. Like, but look at any one of those people's lives, like behind the screen, and tell me, do those people experience contentment? Like, my goodness, like you read the tabloids, you read anything in news, like tell me their lives aren't more full of drama because of all that. Like, tell me their lives aren't more full of stress, and it's just one big facade that where you have the nice air filters on Instagram, you have the nice just the things that cover up and make fake what is not reality. Like, but that's how we live our lives. We live our lives based on so many things that aren't real. And again, stumbling around in darkness, hoping that we'll find contentment. Like, if there's one thing you get tonight, like, let me tell you, do not let the Kardashians or the Jenners, like, be your point of wisdom in any life decision. Like, I'm not talking about just, like, big ones. I'm talking about small ones. Like, there's no wisdom there, and I'm just saying that honestly and openly, okay? I'm saying, like, hey, if you're letting, like, Scott Frost and the Husker program be your guiding light in life, let me tell you, it's going to take you down a dark path of disappointment, okay? I'm just saying. Like, that's the type of things, though, that we live our lives for. We literally reorient our lives around these things, and we end up disappointed. We do not leave content. And it's just the blind leading the blind. It's dangerous, and to be honest, it's foolish. Like, and I'll be honest, like, I'll be the first to say I'm guilty of it, and I know that we're all guilty of it to some degree, right? Like, we can be humble enough, we can laugh at ourselves, but like, that's the honest truth. And like, the reason is, like, again, I love God's word. Like, you know the Bible is real when a book written 2,000 years ago is still relevant and can pierce your heart just like it was written today? And the reason for this, Ephesians 4:18 says, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. God's word is telling us the reason we live in darkness is because our hearts, our minds, our understanding about life and who we are as people is so darkened that it's actually clouded our judgment. It's clouded our view of reality, that we are blind to the things that we actually should see that is necessary to live a satisfying life of contentment. It's because that there's an ignorance in us because of this darkness. It's literally created a hardness of heart that is not open to God any longer, that is so closed off to God, that actually believes, like how deluded is it that we are so darkened in our understanding that every one of us in this room by nature thinks that if we were to stand side by side to a holy, perfect, and righteous God, that somehow we would be eye level. Like, we just think in our deluded, darkened understanding, yeah, I'm as good as him. Yeah, I'm as righteous as him. I'm as wise as him. I'm as all-knowing as the creator of the universe. And in fact, I think I might be even better than him. Like, I don't need to submit to anything he says. I don't need to trust him. I know better. I'm wiser. I'm smarter. I'm more knowledgeable. And I can live my life how I want because he doesn't know a thing. And in fact, I'm above him. Like, how darkened do we have to be to actually think that that is true, and we would live our lives on that? And again, the reason God's word is so gracious to us, it says the reason we do this is because John 3:19-21, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, Jesus has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light. So why do we love darkness rather than light? Why do we choose to live our lives without God, darkened in our understanding, blind to the ways of God? He says, because this, like key in right here. This is it. Because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. Like, we are so darkened in our understanding of God and who we are as people that we don't actually believe the idea, the reality, that we are all sinners born into a sin-filled world. And that by nature, we do not have good hearts. By nature, we have what Scripture says, evil hearts, wicked hearts, desperately sick hearts. And that these are darkened hearts. Darkened minds that literally make us love darkness and hate light. Hate the idea of letting light come in and flood our hearts to expose us. Like, it's this idea that we think we're always right. Like, our darkened thinking has made us understand about ourselves and believe the lie that we are always right and never wrong. Like, I'm the first to confess that sin. Like, I hate being wrong. Like, it literally is like forcing like pliers to my lips to like try to get me to admit when I'm wrong. I hate it. It kills me inside. And it's because of my darkened understanding that is in my old sin nature that once told me that I know better than God and that I'm Justin Larson is never wrong. God must be the wrong one. Someone else must be the wrong one. Justin, he's not wrong. He's always right. And what happens is God's light, the light of Jesus, begins to shine like a flashlight in my heart. It shows all the ugly, sinful, wicked, evil things that, man, some of those things I didn't know they were even there. But the worst is that some of those things I did know were there. Some of those things that I was like, man, if anyone found out, I'd be so ashamed. Like, if someone knew the thoughts that sometimes pop into my mind, if someone knew that, like, the emotions and the lust and the greed in my heart and some of the just disgusting thoughts, if they were like revealed to you and you could see them and know them, like I would feel so ashamed. Like you would not want me up here preaching. Like you wouldn't look at me as like a pastor. You would look at me like, oh my God, like call the police on that dude. Like seriously, like that's how evil our hearts are. And like we can all confess, like that is the wickedness of sin. That is the darkness that has kept us trapped in this sin. The reason we don't want the light of Jesus, the reason we hate the light is because we love darkness. We love being right. We love being prideful. We love our sin to the point where we would never want it exposed and taken from us because we value it above God. We value it above truth. We value darkness above light. So the hard truth about the light of Jesus is it can be uncomfortable. And you know what that's called? The Bible calls that, we're like, that's okay to feel uncomfortable by those things. Like, the Bible calls that conviction. Like, it's like you're in a court of law and the judge says, you are a convicted felony. Like, you are rightfully accused of these things because you know yourself that you're guilty. And that's uncomfortable. Like, we can clear the air. That's hard. Nobody wants to face that. It exposes us. But the good news of the gospel, friends, is that the light of Jesus is twofold. It's not just meant to be this harsh LED flashlight shining into the recesses and cesspools of our hearts. Like, it's meant to actually lead us to something greater. And the verse goes on because it says, this light, Jesus says, is the light of life. This means that this is not meant to just show us where our heart is dead and decaying spiritually. This is meant to show us that there is a better way. Like the flashlight shines on our hearts and then shows the path to Jesus and say, okay, you see that? This is the way out now. This is the way to life. This is the way to freedom. Like not only like does the sun, like we talked about, like just shine brightly for us to see. Like if we would die without the sun, like the sun actually gives us life. It gives us warmth. It creates plants. It sustains life. And Jesus is the same way, saying my light not only like shows you, but it actually gives you life. And what is life? If we were to look at what God says is life, again, I love the Bible. It talks about everything. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, This is Jesus speaking. Like, you want to know what life is. It says that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. What Jesus is saying is that, like, if you want true contentment, if you want true and everlasting life, you got to know me. And like, you can't just know me like you're reading like a Wikipedia biography. Like, you got to know me. Like, you got to have an ongoing interactive relationship with me. And if you know me, you will find quickly that you will enjoy me and that you will see that I am beautiful, that I am not meant to here just to condemn the world. I'm here to save the world. I'm not here to expose you. I'm here to save you. I'm here to give you life and life abundant. And the question is, how do we know God then? It begs the question. If eternal life is knowing God, how do we know him? Again, Jesus' own words, he says that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I mean, if you've seen me, if you can look through the eyewitness accounts of who I am and how I interact with people just like us, you will see that is the same way I interact with you now. I am the same God. I do not change. I am the same God who is there casting out demons, healing lepers, eating with the sick and the marginalized and those who are outcasts. Like, that is the same God that I am today, and you can know me. If you read of me, if you know me through my word, and the Spirit of God actually illuminates, he shines light where there was maybe once darkness on who Jesus is. We need to understand that the light of God is seen so clearly through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Like, Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. That's amazing. Like, if I were to say, hey, start the clock, you have a minute, and if anyone in the 60 seconds has an impure thought, you're done. Like, imagine, none of us would get through 60 seconds. Like, I'd be dead on the stage up here. Like, but Jesus did that not for 60 seconds. He did that for 33 years. Like, never sinned. And only modeled to us the light of God by his compassion. Like, Jesus was, like, he woke up every morning because compassion got him out of bed in the morning. Like, he was so brokenhearted and burdened for those who were lost. Like, he said, sheep without a shepherd. He saw people living, stumbling through darkness. And he says, I can be their light. I can lead them to true life and not death. I will show them grace. I will give people what they do not deserve. I will forgive them of the wrongs they have committed against God and God alone, because I am God. I am the light of the world, and I will show my light through my love and through my sacrifice. The greatest sacrifice, the greatest act of love ever committed was Jesus, the Son of God, going to a cross for sinners. Because Jesus was the light of the world. Jesus never had a dark moment, never had a dark thought, never had a dark motive. Jesus only lived in the light. Jesus lived as the light. Like, that's what he's saying. And through this light, he shows us the glory of God, the beauty of God in his heart. He would go even to the point, like I said, to a Roman cross to switch places with you and me. Like, that's incredible when I think about that. Like, he says, like, I will take your sinfulness and I'll give you my righteousness. Like, I will take your darkness and you can have my light. Like, I will take your death and you can have my life. Like, that's what Jesus is saying here. Like, that is the good news of the gospel, and that is offered to anyone who would receive him as their Lord and Savior, to say, Jesus, I need that grace. I'm walking in darkness, stumbling around through life in pointless, futile ways, the Bible says. And I want to be rescued from that. I want to be spared from that. I want to be saved from that. I want to live a life worth living. I want to know my value. I want to know my purpose. I don't want to feel so alone anymore. I want to know that I know that I know you. I want life. When Jesus, you call upon Jesus in that way, in humility, in desperation, in need, and you see his finished work on the cross, and you say, I receive that. I see, Jesus, that you've taken all the wrath deserved that I deserve, and you have given me all the favor that I don't. and that you rose again. And you are truly the Son of God. And 3 days later, after you laid down your life for me, you took it back up again so that I could be forgiven, so that I'd be clean, that I could be pure, that I could be taken and transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into your kingdom of marvelous light. Like, that's the good news of Jesus. And when you follow him, it's saying that I'm turning away, I'm repenting, I'm turning from darkness, and now I want to live in light. God, you're saying, I bow my knee to you, Jesus. Like, no longer does my life belong to me. No longer am I going to follow the darkness of my own understanding. I'm going to trust you, and whatever you say goes. And you are the light of my life. You light my path. You show me the way I ought to live, because that is the way to true life. That is the way to contentment, he says. So what does this mean for us now? If we would look at Ephesians 1:18, it's having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? It means that if you have trusted in Jesus, Christian, you have an ongoing interactive relationship with him. That means that you have put your trust in God. You've received his amazing, undeserved grace through faith, through trusting in his finished work on the cross. And now you have hope. Like, it's like someone who was born blind, like their whole life, walking through life. Like, we didn't know any better. Like, that was our condition. Like, we didn't know any better. We're just born sinners into a sinful world, born blind, not knowing what it's like to see. And Jesus comes into our life and says, you can see now. And he opens our eyes and we see color and we see people, we see faces. We see the beauty of God in everything. And we see him face to face. We see his grace. We see him on the cross. We see him raised from the grave. We see this idea that Jesus offers himself. He offers true life. He offers his true beauty for us to see the rest of our days. And that seeing is like a blind person born blind getting to see a sunrise for the first time. And the sunrise that we as Christians get to see that's always on the horizon is a sunrise of hope. Like, that is what marks the Christian life. We live with hope. Like, we have every reason to get out of bed in the morning as Christians. We know this life is a vapor's breath, that it's going to be here today and gone tomorrow like a mist, the Bible says. Like, you ever seen a mist? Or just spray a bottle and just gone. He says, that's what your life is like. Now, do you want to live that mist full of hope? Or do you want to live that life stumbling through the darkness, never finding what you're looking for? That's what Jesus is offering here. You will either live in the light or you will live in the dark. See, when you see this kind of beauty, for you Christians, like, you've seen the beauty of God in the face of Jesus. You would never imagine, you never dream, you never think of the thought of going back to a life not seeing that beauty. Like as if you were a blind person, like, oh, I can see. Oh, you know, I'm going back. I liked it better when I was blind. Like, you would never think that. But like, so that's what happens. Like, you have a new nature now. You have seen the beauty of God because of his light, and now you continue to walk in the light. Because, not because you have to, because you get to. Like, my goodness, see, like, you don't have to follow God's word if you absolutely don't want to, but you get to follow God's word. You get to follow the light that would light up your path. You won't hold so close to the things that you were once dependent on, stumbling through, hoping that those things will guide you the right way. And so friends, like, if you're in the room and you're hearing all this for maybe the first time, that Jesus offers a better way to life, to walk in the light instead of the darkness, and you haven't trusted in Jesus, like, I want to invite you, like, you can have your eyes open tonight. You don't have to stay on this path, stumbling around for contentment, hoping that some way, somehow, you'll just crash into it. Like, I'm telling you, there's a very clear path to contentment. There's a very clear path to life. And it would start when you say, Jesus, run my life. I've seen the darkness of my own understanding. I can't do this any longer. I'm sorry. Like, I realize that all that darkness has been an affront on you. It is a slap in the face for the light that you've shown me through your life, death, and resurrection. And I realize that this is an offense against you. But I also realize that your grace is enough. That you're willing to forgive those offenses, you're willing to pay for those offenses, and you're willing to put me on a new track, a new path of life that will actually be content. actually be satisfying? Would you do that? Would you actually invite? Would you get into your own private thoughts of your mind and your heart? That like secret place that usually you just talk to yourself in, right? But take that time and believe by faith you can talk to God tonight. And it says he will incline our ear to him. That he will incline his ear to us is what he says. And that if by faith you would actually call out and say, God, I dare to believe that you hear me right now. I dare to believe that as I ask for grace, you will give it to me. I dare to believe that if I ask for life, you would give it to me because you've paid it in full on the cross. You rose again from the grave and you are seated at the right hand of the Father, full of glory, full of light. And for the Christians in the room, I want to commission you now. I don't want you to leave anchored down by this tonight. I want you to float out of here tonight. I want you to look at the light of Jesus, a light that shines in the darkness, and look at the words where Jesus says, I am the light of the world, but look at something new he says in Matthew 5:14. He said, I am the light of the world, but now look what he says. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp or put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Christians, float out of the room tonight in the light of Christ. Walk in the light. Feel free to know that when you confess sin, you are in the light of God's grace, that you are in the light where there is no condemnation. You can freely repent and turn back to him when you're tempted and fall back in darkness. God's grace is saying, you are in the light. You are of the light now, and there is no condemnation. Turn back to the light. You are of the light. Walk in the light. You are free to show God's light now. To be the lamp that says, I'm not going to put a shade on. I'm not going to put it behind a piece of furniture. I'm going to put it on a stand, and I'm going to be a light to everyone in the room. Christian, you should be a light to everyone in this room tonight. You should be the most joyful, peaceable, patient, kind, gentle person in the room tonight. You should show the beauty of God's light and God's glory tonight. Go and be free to do that. Feel empowered by God's Spirit, the light of Christ that is now in you, to be that light and empower you to walk in the light. It's all grace. And again, friends, don't be discouraged. You fall back into darkness from time to time. God's grace is twofold, and that's the beauty of it. God's grace pardons when we walk in darkness and empowers us to live in the light. It is all grace. So go in grace, go in peace, go in boldness and in confidence that you are the light of the world now. And it all starts because Jesus is the light of the world. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are the light of the world. It's an amazing thought to think that those who have trusted in you, you now call that we are the light of the world. So God, I'm asking that we would always keep our eyes fixed on you. I'm asking that we would never try to be a light without being lit by the one who is the true light. I'm asking that our lanterns would be full of oil. I'm asking that your Spirit would fill us afresh to show the light of God, the beauty of God, the character of God, the heart of God in all things, at all times, with all people. I pray that anyone in this room tonight who has not experienced that light would see it for the first time, that their eyes would be opened in the name of Jesus. Their blind eyes that have kept them stumbling around in the dark would actually for the first time be opened. And see the glorious, beautiful hope that you give for them, that you offer them through your grace and your finished work on the cross. And Jesus, would you run their lives? Would you show them that they are now on a well-lit path when we follow you? And you are a gracious guider. You stay with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You always guide us back to life because you yourself are light. We thank you, Jesus, and we pray this in your name. Amen.